if somebody doesn't believe Tesla's going to solve autonomy, I think they should not be an investor in the company. But we will, and we are.
Hi, Team Value. JJ here. Welcome back. Well, today, of course, was Tesla earnings day. Much anticipated. The share price has been way down lately, and it went up on earnings. So I thought I'd listen to the earnings call and react to it. It's not all of it. Just picked out parts of it. There was a lot said about autonomy and robots. Let's get straight into it.
In Q1, we navigated several unforeseen challenges, as well as the ramp of the updated Model 3 in Fremont. As we all have seen, the EV adoption rate globally is under pressure, and a lot of other auto manufacturers are pulling back on EVs and pursuing plug-in hybrids instead. We believe this is not the right strategy, and electric vehicles will ultimately dominate the market.
I think that too, that EVs will dominate the market. I think it's kind of a stupid approach to go with hybrids, and I think it'll happen faster than a lot of people think. You know, even though there's a pullback in demand at the moment.
Despite these challenges, the Tesla team did a great job executing in a tough environment, and energy storage deployments, the Megapack in particular, reached an all-time high in Q1, leading to record profitability for the energy business.
Emphasizing the Megapacks, their storage, which I think is good, it is going very well. That's where the growth is coming from.
And that looks likely to continue to increase in the quarters and years ahead. It will increase. We actually know that it will. Significantly faster than the car business, as we expected. We also continued to expand our AI training capacity in Q1, more than doubling our training compute sequentially. In terms of the new product roadmap, there's been a lot of talk about our upcoming vehicle line in the past several weeks. We've updated our future vehicle lineup to accelerate the launch of new models ahead of previously mentioned start of production in the second half of 2025. So we expect it to be more like early 2025, if not late this year. New vehicles, including more affordable models, will use aspects of the next generation platform, as well as aspects of our current platforms, and will be able to be produced on the same manufacturing lines as our current vehicle lineup. So it's not contingent on any new factory or massive new production line. It'll be made on our current production lines much more efficiently. And we think this should allow us to get to over 3 million vehicles of capacity when realized to the full extent.
Not a lot of detail there about the new models or what's going to happen there. I guess he's leaving it to August, the 8th of the 8th.
Regarding FSD version 12, which is the pure AI-based self-driving, if you haven't experienced this, I strongly urge you to try it out. It's profound, and the rate of improvement is rapid. We've now turned that on for all cars with the cameras and inference computer and everything from Hardware 3 on in North America, so it's been pushed out to, I think, around 1.8 million vehicles, and we're seeing about half of people use it so far, and that percentage is increasing with each passing week.
50% of people have tried it around there. They've given more access to it so people can try it out, and it seems to be working so far.
Since the launch of full self-driving, supervised full self-driving, it's become very clear that the vision-based approach with end-to-end neural networks is the right solution for scalable autonomy. It's really how humans drive. Our entire road network is designed for biological neural nets and eyes. So naturally, cameras and digital neural nets are the solution to our current road system.
It's been a pretty big gamble to go with the cameras there, or a lot of people have thought so. Elon's pretty adamant that cameras will do the trick, will be enough in all weather conditions, and he says here, just like humans, as good as humans, better than humans.
To make it more accessible, we've reduced the subscription price to $99 a month, so it's easy to try out. As we've announced, we'll be showcasing our purpose-built robot taxi or cybercab in August. In conclusion, we're super excited about our autonomy roadmap. I think it should be obvious to anyone who's driving version 12 in a Tesla that it is only a matter of time before we exceed the reliability of humans, and not much time at that. We're really headed for an electric vehicle and autonomous future. I'll go back to something I said several years ago, that in the future, gasoline cars that are not autonomous will be like riding a horse and using a flip phone. And that will become very obvious in hindsight. We continue to make the necessary investments that will drive growth and profits for Tesla in the future.
He's really bet the company on FSD at this point and on robots, but that's much in the future. So it's really got to work, and he says it will work. He has said before that Tesla's not worth anything unless FSD works, if autonomy works, and he seems pretty confident now, although he's, you know, in the past he said this year, but they're seeming more and more confident that it will work and that it will lead into robotaxis. We'll have to see what happens. Now, if you're getting value out of this Tesla episode so far, I'd really appreciate it if you managed to smash that like button to help the algorithm to spread it to more people, because that's what we want. Thanks.
We did see a season decline in revenues quarter over quarter, and those were primarily because of seasonality, uncertain macroeconomic environment, and the other reasons which Elon had mentioned earlier. Auto margins declined from 18.9% to 18.5%. If you exclude Cybertruck and Fremont Model 3 ramp costs, the revenue from auto park, auto margins improved slightly. On the demand front, we have undertaken a variety of initiatives, including lowering the price of both the purchase and subscription options for FSD, launching extremely attractive leasing specials for the Model 3 in the U.S. for $299 a month, and offering attractive financing options in certain markets. We believe that our awareness activities paired with attractive financing will go a long way in expanding our reach and driving demand for our products.
It will be interesting to see if that does increase the reach. If a lot more people do it, it makes sense because it's a lot cheaper. At one time, Elon said that FSD will only get more expensive as it gets closer to autonomy, as it gets better and better. He also said the value would be more and more. I think he mentioned $100,000 a year at one point. I guess he was thinking about robotaxis there, but he did say both of those things, that the price would increase, and it's actually going down. So changed his mind there in order to get it out there.
Our energy business continues to make meaningful progress, with margins reaching a record of 24.6%. We expect the energy storage deployments for 2024 to grow at least 75% higher from 2023.
75%, that's a great growth there in the energy business.
And accordingly, this business will begin contributing significantly to our overall profitability. We had negative free cash flow of $2.5 billion in the first quarter. The primary driver of this was an increase in inventory from a mismatch between builds and deliveries, as discussed before.
That's not so great, but as you can see, the share price, as they're talking on the earnings call here, was up 10% after hours. So really good bump in the share price. And some of these numbers weren't so great, but obviously investors, Wall Street, looking past that for the moment anyway. We'll see if it will go down in the coming days or not.
We expect the inventory build to reverse in the second quarter and free cash flow to return to positive again. In conclusion, the future is extremely bright, and the journey to get there, while challenging, will be extremely rewarding.
So what is the current status of Optimus? Are they currently performing any factory tasks? When do you expect to start mass production?
We are able to do simple factory tasks, or at least I should say factory tasks in the lab. We do think we will have Optimus in limited production in the factory, in the actual factory itself, doing useful tasks before the end of this year. And then I think we may be able to sell it externally by the end of next year. These are just guesses.
He didn't sound very confident about selling it by the end of next year, but you know, that's the path here, is to have it in the lab. There's quite a big jump from working in the lab doing factory-like tasks to actually working in the factory and then selling it to clients. And it's pretty optimistic by the end of next year. He didn't sound super confident of that. You know, my guess is it take longer than that. And it wouldn't be surprising, because Elon has been pretty optimistic about timelines. He pushes it. And often it's taking years. Like FSD, he said it will be ready every year for a long time.
As I've said before, I think Optimus will be more valuable than everything else combined. Because if you've got a sentient humanoid robot that is able to navigate reality and do tasks at request, there is no meaningful limit to the size of the economy.
Well, that's pretty optimistic. He's talking about, you know, economy-wide changes if, you know, there are humanoid robots all around the place doing work instead of humans for humans. I've made a video about humanoid robots before. I've been through the thesis for that and how it could turn out. I'll put a link in the description to that if you want to check that out. Some people are more optimistic about the humanoid robot than they are about autonomy, FSD. They think that might even happen first.
So that's what's going to happen. And I think Tesla is best positioned of any humanoid robot maker to be able to reach volume production with efficient inference on the robot itself.
What is Tesla's current assessment of the pathway towards regulatory approval for unsupervised FSD in the US? And how should we think about the appropriate safety threshold compared to human drivers?
The regulations to have autonomy everywhere is going to be difficult. Let's see what they say about that. But I think to have it all around the world will be difficult. Maybe some places in the US first will be much quicker, and some have already got permission already.
States that already have adopted autonomous vehicle laws, these states are paving the way for operations. While the data for such operations guides a broader adoption of driverless vehicles. But we expect that these states and the work ongoing, as well as the data that we're providing, will pave the way for a broad-based regulatory approval in the U.S. at least, and then other countries as well.
It's actually been pretty helpful that other autonomous car companies have been cutting a path through the regulatory jungle. That's actually quite helpful. And they have obviously been operating in San Francisco for a while. I think they got approval for City of L.A., so these approvals are happening rapidly. I think if you've got at scale a statistically significant amount of data that shows conclusively that the autonomous car has, let's say, half the accident rate of a human-driven car, I think that's difficult to ignore, because at that point, stopping autonomy means killing people. So I actually do not think that there will be significant regulatory barriers, provided there is conclusive data that the autonomous car is safer than a human-driven car.
Again, that's pretty optimistic, considering that he's just talking about the U.S. It's a big world out there, you know, big populations elsewhere with different regulatory environments. So it may not be as easy as he's saying here. I think if you think about it, you know, it's not just a country, it's per city and different regulations, different situations.
In my view, this will be much like elevators. Elevators used to be operated by a guy with a relay switch, but sometimes that guy would get tired or drunk or just make a mistake and shear somebody in half between floors. So now we just get in an elevator and press a button. We don't think about it. In fact, it's kind of weird if somebody's standing there with a relay switch. That'll be how cars work. You just summon a car using your phone. You get in. It takes you to your destination. You get out.
You don't even think about it.
Don't think about how the elevator is working or anything like that. Something I should clarify is that Tesla will be operating the fleet. Think of Tesla like, I don't know, some combination of Airbnb and Uber, meaning that, you know, there'll be some number of cars that Tesla owns itself and operates in the fleet. There'll be some number of cars, and then there'll be a bunch of cars where they're owned by the end user, but that end user can add or subtract their car to the fleet whenever they want.
Good information about what they're thinking there, about what he's thinking, about how it'll work. Combination between Airbnb and Uber is a, you know, good framework. Really, you know, some own cars, some operated by Tesla, or a mixture of the two.
And they can decide if they want to only let the car be used by friends and family, or only by 5-star users, or by anyone. At any time, they could have the car come back to them and be exclusively theirs. Like an Airbnb, you know, you could rent out your guest room or not anytime you want. As our fleet grows, we have 7 million cars, 9 million cars, you know, eventually tens of millions of cars worldwide. With a constant feedback loop, every time something goes wrong, that gets added to the training data, and you get this training flywheel happening in the same way that Google search has the sort of flywheel. It's very difficult to compete with Google because people are constantly doing searches and clicking, and Google's getting that feedback loop. It's the same with Tesla.
They're thinking quite far ahead about this framework and how it's going to work in practice. Of course, they have to, but the big question is when, how long will it be before, you know, this actually happens? You know, Elon's timelines have always been more optimistic than reality.
But at a scale that is difficult to comprehend, but ultimately it'd be tens of millions. I think there's also some potential here for an AWS element down the road, where if we've got very powerful inference, there's a potential to run, when the car is not moving, to actually run distributed inference, kind of like AWS, but distributed inference. Like, it takes a lot of computers to train an AI model, but many orders of magnitude less compute to run it. So you can imagine a future perhaps where there's a fleet of 100 million Teslas, and on average, they've got like maybe a kilowatt of inference compute. That's 100 gigawatts of inference compute distributed all around the world. It's pretty hard to put together 100 gigawatts of AI compute.
So that's interesting what he's saying there about the comparison with AWS, where Amazon was building AWS in the background where they had spare compute and they found a business model to use that over time. It was working in the background there and then they made it into really their most successful business. And Tesla cars, could this happen with this, the compute power in the car? You know, we've heard about batteries, how batteries can run the house, you know, when the power goes out. And so we've got batteries and computing power in the cars in the future. A massive fleet of them, that could work. It's an interesting concept, but again, quite far down the line.
Even in an autonomous future where the car is perhaps used, instead of being used 10 hours a week, is used 50 hours a week, that still leaves over 100 hours a week where the car inference computer could be doing something else. And it seems like it would be a waste not to use it.
Next question. Can we get an official announcement of the timeline for the $25,000 vehicle?
As you mentioned, we're updating our future vehicle lineup to accelerate the launch of our low-cost vehicles in a more capex-efficient way. That's our mission, to get the most affordable cars to customers as fast as possible. These new vehicles will be built on our existing lines and open capacity, and that's a major shift, to utilize all our capacity with marginal capex before we go spend high capex to do anything.
Yeah, we'll talk about this more on August 8th, but really the way to think of Tesla is almost entirely in terms of solving autonomy. And being able to turn on that autonomy for a gigantic fleet.
He's sort of deflecting the question here, just talking about autonomy. Again, the 8th of the 8th, waiting till that for the announcement about robo-taxis and how that's going to work, but really kind of deflecting about what new models are coming up and how that's going to work.
It might be the biggest asset value appreciation in history when that day happens, when you can do unsupervised full self-driving.
5 million cars.
It'll be 7 million cars.
A lot of emphasis on FSD again, and really the main talk is about that.
And then 10 million, and then, you know, we're talking about tens of millions of cars. Not eventually, it's like before the end of this decade. Yeah, before the end of the decade, it's several tens of millions of cars, I think.
What is getting the production ramp at Lathrop? Where do you see the megapack run rate at the end of the year?
There's really nothing limiting the ramp. It's you know, given the longer sales cycles for these large projects, we typically have order visibility 12 to 24 months prior to ship date, so we're able to plan the build plan several quarters in advance. So this allows us to ramp the factory to align with the business and order growth.
It really is the strongest part of the business. You know, there's all this talk of FSD, but really it's not material to the finances at this point. Megapack is starting to be, you know, it could get big, and it's kind of less glamorous, a bit more boring because it's just churning out storage, but it could become a really big part of the business, and the demand worldwide for that, I think, is only going to increase. Definitely being able to store electricity for later use is just going to become a huge demand, and they're being able to fulfill that demand starting to. So that's pretty good news. It's a good news story.
Analyst questions. Tony Sakanagi from Bernstein.
I was just wondering if you could elaborate a little bit more on kind of the new vehicles that you talked about today. Are these like tweaks on existing models, given that they're going to be running on the same lines, or are these like new models, and how should we think about them, you know, in the context of the Model 3 Highland update? What will these models be like relative to that? And given the quick time frame, you know, Model 3 Highland has required a lot of work and a lot of retooling. Mm-hmm. Maybe you can help put that all in context.
I think we've said all we will on that front. So what's your follow-up?
Elon really didn't want to say anything more about that. Really not many details about forthcoming models and how they're going to do it. This $25,000 model is so-called, so we're going to have to wait till August. Really not saying much about that, but the market, you know, by the share price, isn't too concerned about that at this point.
It's a more personal one for you, Elon, which is that you're leading many important companies right now. Maybe you can just talk about where your heart is at in terms of your interests, and do you expect to lessen your involvement with Tesla at any point over the next 3 years?
Well, Tesla constitutes the majority of my work time, and I work pretty much every day of the week. It's rare for me to take a Sunday afternoon off. So I'm going to make sure Tesla is very prosperous, and it is, I think it is prosperous, and it will be very much so in the future.
just saying that he wants Tesla to be profitable in the future, but really not committing to anything long term there. I think that he needs to stay there. He needs to stay there, especially with the, you know, the robot, humanoid robot. It's hard to see how that would be successful without him there and driving it forward. Maybe FSD could be okay, and a lot of the projects that they've got on hand, the semis, but, you know, future projects I don't see could happen. It's like imagining Amazon without Jeff Bezos at the critical time all the way through. He did eventually move on, or, you know, focus on other things, but it was a long time.
Jonas from Morgan Stanley.
Hey, Elon. So you and your team on volume expect a 2024 growth rate notably lower than that achieved in 2023. But what's your team's degree of confidence on growth above 0%? Or in other words, does that statement leave room for potentially lower sales year on year?
No, I think we'll have higher sales this year than last year.
That's all he's saying about that, higher sales this year. The growth rate's gone way down. You know, a lot of investors were expecting 50% growth rate forever, but as it gets bigger, that's harder to achieve. And they are talking about, though, the getting set for their next phase of growth. And that's for FSD, and then further on than that, we can see other phases of growth. It's the Megapack that's providing the growth at the moment.
Okay, my follow-up, Elon, on future product. If you had nailed execution, assuming that you nail execution on your next gen cheaper vehicles, you know, more aggressive giga castings, I don't want to say one piece, but getting closer to one piece, structural pack, unboxed, 300 mile range, $25,000 price point, putting aside robotaxi, those features unique to you, how long would it take your best Chinese competitors to copy a cheaper and better vehicle okay. that you could offer a couple of years from now? How long would it take your best Chinese competitors to copy that? Thanks.
I mean, I don't know what our competitors could do, except we've done relatively better than they have. You know, if you look at the drop in our competitors in China sales versus our drop in sales, our drop was less than theirs.
Obviously, he doesn't want to say too much about the competitors, but of course he knows. He knows what they're up to. He knows what BYD is up to. He's kind of brushed them off earlier on in the journey, saying that their cars aren't up to much. And he said, have you seen the design? They're working with BYD, as I understand it. You know, it's BYD supplying battery packs. He knows the capabilities of BYD. I think he's probably a bit more concerned about that. And he said there's intense competition from the Chinese companies. I think, you know, he's a bit more concerned about that, and he gives away here, but obviously you wouldn't expect him to talk about it.
So we're doing well, but I think, you know, Kathy Wood said it best. Like, really, we should be thought of as an AI or robotics company. If you value Tesla as just like an auto company, you would just have the fundamentally, it's just the wrong framework. And it will come to be. If you ask the wrong question, then the right answer is impossible. I mean, if somebody doesn't believe Tesla's going to solve autonomy, I think they should not be an investor in the company.
Well, that's an interesting saying, that you shouldn't be an investor in the company if you don't believe they're going to solve autonomy. I saw him say that to, you know, an interview with the Silicon Valley, you know, group, Silicon Valley Tesla group there, saying that it does ride on autonomy. You know, it's becoming more and more crucial, more and more important to be, if you're an investor, to believe and understand that it's going to be solved and soon.
But we will, and we are. And then you have a car that goes from 10 hours of use a week, like an hour and a half a day, to probably 50, but it costs the same.
I think that's the key thing to remember, right? Especially if you look at FSD supervised, if you didn't believe in autonomy, this should give you a preview that this is coming. It's actually getting better day by day.
Yeah, if you've not tried the FSD 12.3, and like I said, 12.4 is going to be significantly better, and 12.5 even better than that, and we have visibility into those things, then you really don't understand what's going on. It's not possible.
Yeah, and that's why we can't just look at just as a car company, because a car company would just have a car. But here we have more than a car company, because the cars can be autonomous. And like I said, it's happening.
Yeah, so like, tell us about future horse carriages you're making. I'm like, well, actually, it doesn't need a horse. That's the whole point. And that's really the whole point.
The next question comes from Alex Potter from Piper Sandler.
Couldn't agree more. The thesis hinges completely on AI, the future of AI, full self-driving, you know, neural net training, all of these things. In that context, Elon, you've spoken about your desire to obtain 25% voting control of the company. And I understand mm-hmm. completely why that would be. So I'm not necessarily asking about that. I'm asking if you've come up with any mechanism by which you can ensure that you'll obtain that level of voting control, because if not, then the core part of the thesis could potentially be at risk. So any additional True. Commentary you might have on that topic?
True. You know, he's been threatening to leave if he doesn't get the compensation package and the power that he needs.
No matter what, Tesla, you know, even if I got kidnapped by aliens tomorrow, Tesla will solve autonomy, maybe a little slower, but it would solve autonomy for vehicles at least. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it would win on with respect to Optimus or with respect to future products.
There we go. He said with Optimus, if he wasn't there, that may not happen. And I do think that he needs to stay around to see that through. If investors are sort of planning on that, projecting out that, then Elon needs to be around for that. And there, you know, there can be black swan events. He could die in a plane crash in his private jet that he flies around all the time. Anything could happen. You know, you got to think about this downside, and Elon needs to stick around. Even with FSD, you know, it's taken so long, and maybe they would do it. He said it would take a bit longer, but you know, he does need to be around.
But there's enough momentum for Tesla to solve autonomy, even if I disappeared, for vehicles. Now, there's okay. a whole range of things we can do in the future. Beyond that, I'd be more reticent with respect to Optimus. You know, if we have a super sentient humanoid robot that can follow you indoors and that you can't escape, you know, we're talking Terminator level risk, then, I'd be uncomfortable with, you know, if there's not some meaningful level of influence over how that is deployed. And you know, if there's, you know, shareholders have an opportunity to ratify or re-ratify the sort of compensation, I guess I can't say that.
He's talking about the compensation package, getting shareholders to vote on that so he can stay around, because he's sort of half threatened to leave if he doesn't get what he wants there. You know, in terms of the robot Optimus there, about, you know, that he wants to be around to control that. Could they even do it? Could they even get to that without him driving that project forward if he wasn't around?
I once again would just like to strongly recommend that anyone who is, I guess, thinking about the Tesla stock should really drive FSD 12.3. You can't, it's impossible to understand the company if you do not do this.
Okay, so that was near the end of the call, and the share price at the end was 10.53% up at the price of 159.84. Just to timestamp this, but you know, the market reacting well to that. The numbers weren't great, but the market being a bit more optimistic, perhaps, you know, it went down a lot before. You know, there's a lot of bad news that came out, so that's where we stand today after the earnings call. Now, I'm going to put a link in the description to the Art of Value Patreon community. You can even join for free and get the free videos without ads over there and some exclusive content if you sign up as a paid member. I talk about stocks I own, what I'm researching, and the way I go about it. So if you're interested in that, put a link in the description and see you over there. Now, I'm going to put some links to related videos in the description here. And if you're watching this on YouTube, I'm going to put a video here of what YouTube thinks that you should watch next. So go and see that now if you want to. And thanks to everybody for watching or listening, wherever you are doing that, whichever platform. And I'll see you in the next one.